so I will not change the language. When I will introduce Zdena Ureshová with a presentation on one of the projects which are which we work on at UFAL, and this one is on the Czech English class lexicon. So I think Zdena will have the word.
Okay, thank you for the introduction. Today I am going to present our work on bilingual verbal synonymy. By our work, I mean the work of people you can read on this slide. In the first row, Ureshová, Fučíková, Hajíčová are actually the team members of our project, then follow the annotators. In the first row are the most loyal one and hardworking one, and in brackets are those who started to work with us, but after a while they decided that the annotation is maybe too difficult for them or maybe very time consuming, so they left us. Jan Hajič is also, I would say, a never-ending supply or repository of ideas and help, so he is also one of the co-authors of this presentation. First, I would like to introduce the project I will be talking about, and this project is actually on the verbal on bilingual verbal synonymy. I will mention its main principles and resources we are using. Then I will outline its main goal. This is the synonym lexicon. The name of it is Czech class lexicon. I will tell you about its content and I will outline the structure. I show you a few examples and I will also introduce the annotation tool we are using and mention also some experiments we already did. Well, it's maybe already 1 year ago, but still I will tell you what was that about. And then I will focus on some theoretical issues we had to deal with during our work. They are from the area of meaning, synonymy, and semantic roles. Finally, I will conclude and sketch out our future plans. Let me apologize one more time for my I've got a sore throat, so I am not very understandable probably, but I can't do anything about it, so I'm sorry about that. The project we are working on is supported by the Czech Science Foundation. We've got funding for 3 years, so we still have like 2 months to go because it started in January 2017. And in our project, which is called Contextually Based Synonymy and Valency of Verbs in a Bilingual Setting, we concentrate on semantic similarity of verbs in translational texts. So we are trying to find how the translational equivalents are related to each other. In particular, we are focusing on their valency, and we are trying to relate this valency behavior to semantic roles. I am using the term semantic roles, but people who are working here with something similar, people of VALEX, they are using the term situational participants. I will come to this later. Then we are trying to group those verb senses who have something in similar in meaning. We are trying to put them into synonym classes. And those synonym classes we are trying to restore in our synonym lexicon, which is called Czech class. As always, we prefer the bottom-up approach. It means that we start with the evidence examples as we have found them in the Prague-Czech English Dependency Tree Bank, and then we continue through our valency lexicons going up to the synonym class lexicon. Our project is based on the functional generative description theory, so the valency, which has been developed within this framework, is our basis. As you all know, the functional generative description is a dependency theory, and it works with the multi-layered approach to language description. So beside the morphology, surface syntax, it works also with the deep syntactic layer. For us, the deep syntactic layer, called the tectogrammatical one, is the most important one because this is the layer where the valency belongs. In the functional generative description valency approach, we distinguish according to the type of dependency, the inner participants, and free modifications. Later, this theory was then expanded by typical modifications by Vendula and Marchetta, but in the Prague dependency tree banks, this is still not implemented. So here we use only the inner participants and free modifications. On slide you see one very simple example of the verb give, and this valency frame has actor, patient, and addressee. In the brackets they are also the morphosyntactic realization, so actor is in nominative, patient in accusative, and addressee in dative. And then in the corpus, in the sentences, the appropriate words are assigned the appropriate valency slots from this valency frame. So in the sentence, she gave him a book, she is actor, him is addressee, and book is patient. So this is the first phenomenon, this is valency we are working on. And then we are working with synonymy. We are working with kind of loose interpretation of synonymy. We are not using the strict definition. So for us, two verbs are synonymous if they have similar or overlapping meaning. And also we use the context as a constraint. So for us, we relate by mapping individual valency arguments to semantic role. So this is our constraint for synonymy. What kind of resources we are using? I've already said that we are using the translational texts. So therefore, our main resource is the Prague Czech English Dependency Tree Bank. As most of you know, this is the parallel tree bank where the English sentences were translated by professional translators. So we hope that the translations are good enough for us. This tree bank is actually part of Wall Street Journal from Penn Tree Bank. There are about 50,000 sentences there on each language side. And each verb is annotated with valency. So each verb occurrence has assigned a valency frame. As lexical resources, we are using the internal resources. This is PDT Valex for Czech, Eng Valex for English, and then Cheng Valex lexicon, which actually combines the Eng Valex entries and Czech PDT Valex entries, and it captures not only the verb senses but also interlinked also the individual nodes, I mean the valency arguments, and from the Czech side to the English side. Then we annotate also the reference to other very famous lexical data sets like FrameNet, VerbNet, ProBank, OntoNodes, and English WordNet. And we also are connecting our entries to VALEX. This is the other valency lexicon which has been developed here at UFAL. Just to give you an idea how the annotation of the sentences in the project English dependency tree bank looks like. So here you see on the left-hand side the English sentence and its tectogrammatical annotation. On the right-hand side is the Czech sentence with the tectogrammatical annotation, and this at the tectogrammatical layer where the valency belongs. We use for annotating the senses the appropriate valency lexicons. So for English, the verb deal, we are choosing from the EngvaLex lexicon the right valency frame, and for the Czech translational counterparts, the verb jednat, we use the appropriate valency frame from the Czech valency lexicon. Our main resource, I mean from the lexical resources, is Czech Valex. I hope I will not mix the Czech Valex with Czech class because these names are very similar. And so if I do so, just tell me because I always mix that. Maybe we should find out some other name, but we weren't very, very good in it. So on the right-hand side here, you see again the tectogrammatical annotation. The Czech sentence has actually on the top is the English sentence, and then below is its Czech translation. The English sentence contains the clause "People care about performance," and it's translated to Czech "Lidé se starají o výkon." And you see those arrows. So those arrows are linking not only the individual translational counterparts, the English verb "to care" and Czech verb "starat se," but also its valency arguments. So on the English side, it's actor. On the Czech side, it's actor here. Patient on English and patient on Czech. And then in Czech Valex, those verbs and their valency frames, valency frame arguments are connected. All of our lexicons are you can find them under the Lindat repository. Those are the pointers. I don't think I have the internet here right now, but I can try to find it at the end, so I can show you how they look like. And now I will continue with the, I would say, beside the theoretical description of verbal synonymy, with the main goal of the project. This is the bilingual synonym lexicon. In this lexicon, we store the individual synonym classes. They have the English side and the Czech side. For now, we have about 150 synonym classes, and in those classes, there are about 4,000 verbs. 4,000 entries. Yes, 4,000 entries. Am I right? Yes. And the individual entries in these synonym classes are not just the verbs, but the valency frames, the individual valency verb senses. We call these verb senses class members. And each synonym class has its common set of semantic roles. And we call this common set of semantic roles role set. Then for each class member holds that we map the valency arguments to semantic roles. And the annotators annotate also the references. So they don't need to annotate the internal ones because they are included already, but they need to annotate the external links to the resources I have been talking about, to FrameNet, VerbNet, ProBank, OntoNodes, WordNet, and VALEX. We have the links stored in the lexicon. This is a very schematic figure for the chain class structure. On the top, in the red rectangle, in the red box, are the blue ovals, and each blue oval represents one synonym class. Then, in the middle, it's one synonym class, and it contains verbs like widen, broaden, and on the Czech side, rozšířit, zvětšit, rozšiřovat. And in the violet boxes are the semantic roles assigned to this class. We call this role set, as I have mentioned already. And per each class, we have a specific role set. So here it's agent, item, and change. Moreover, we keep the internal links to our lexicons. So you see that on the Czech side, we link the verb, rozšířit and widen, zvětšit, rozšiřovat. We interlink those valency frames with the valency frames captured in PDT Valex. This is depicted with the square here. This is the PDT Valex. And then on the English side, we interlink the individual valency frames with the valency frames captured in the English valency lexicon ENGVALEX. Also, we interlink the English part and the Czech, and the Czech part with our Czech Valex lexicon. This is depicted with these arrows. And for those of you who wonder what these arrows are, they represent the dependency trees from the Prague Czech English dependency tree bank. So you see that we really start at the button, and on the English side and Czech side of the tree bank, and we go up through the valency lexicons, and we end up with the Czech class synonym lexicon. Moreover, we don't keep them, we have to build them from scratch. We have the links to FrameNet for English verbs. So each English class member has its links to WordNet, VerbNet, ProBank, and Ontonotes senses. And each Czech verb frame as a class member of this synonym class has its links to Valex. And we are planning to work on linking our verb senses to Czech WordNet as well. I would like to show you one example of our synonym class. On the left-hand side, you see the name of the class. It's represented as one verb sense. So in real, this is just to make it simple. It isn't here the ID of the valency frame, but it's identified by the ID of the valency frame. And it's represented with the Czech verb and with the English verb. So this class, it's named Stěžovací komplejn. Then here are the individual class members of this class. And each class has semantic roles. So this is the common set of semantic roles for the class complain. It contains complainer, addressee, and complaint. And next, each valency frame has their valency arguments mapped to the individual semantic roles from the common role set. I mean, I'm not sure how the exact numbers are, but I guess that most of the examples have a straightforward mapping. It means that one semantic role is mapped to one valency argument. Like here, the participant is mapped to actor, and it goes for all class members, so it's the same for compete, battle, fight, bojovat, soutěžit, and participant 2 is expressed as addressee in all valency frames again for all the class members. And the third semantic role as well, price, is always mapped to patient. But sometimes the mapping, it's more complicated. For example, in our class Stěžovací complaint, one semantic role can be mapped to more valency arguments. Like here, the semantic role addressee can be expressed either as addressee or as location. So somebody complains to somebody, then in this case addressee is mapped to addressee, but we can have something like protestovat in front of somebody, and then the semantic role addressee is mapped to adjunct location, to free modification location. And this example of synonym class actually shows one more thing, namely that the semantic role complaint can be mapped either to patient at some class members or to patient and effect at some class members. So if you see, So I hope you can read those examples here. He complained to her that her son lies, and he complained to her about her son that he lies. You see that on the deep layer, at the dictogrammatical layer, these two sentences are annotated differently according to the valency frames, and that's because the topic is expressed differently in those sentences. In the second one, the topic and message are expressed extra, but in the first one, that her son lies, the message, the topic is somehow included in the message. Then we are talking about splitting the structural semantic role. This is very similar to what Vendula has in her thesis, but she is using the term situational participants, and she is talking about the structural splitting, right? Okay. Sometimes can the situation in the sentences be even more complicated, as our synonym, as in this synonym class, nabídnout offer can be shown. Here, the entity offered semantic role can be either mapped to patient valency slot, or it can be mapped to something which is somehow embedded in the dependency tree. By embedded, I mean that the dependent is not the direct dependent of the verb, but it's somehow deeper in the dependency tree. So in the sentence, he extended him employment offer, we have to map the entity offered semantic role to the word employment. And this is labeled as restrictive attribute at the dictogrammatical layer. So in this case, we have to use the brackets and say that the entity offered semantic role is connected to some embedded valency argument or valency modification, and this is the receptor, this is a restrictive attribute, and this one is a dependent of the patient. So this is why, so then we use this notation. The entity offered semantic role is not directly mapped to patient in this sentence, but it is mapped to the RSTR attribute, which is dependent of the patient. So this is why we have the notation with the brackets here. Now I would like to say a few words about our synonym editor. I hope that you've got the impression that the annotation wasn't very easy. It was quite complex and it had a lot of steps. So we had to find something which would allow our annotators to work on more things at once. First, actually, we started with Excel sheets, but it was very soon it was clear that they are not enough. So we built a completely new annotation tool. We use as a starting point the tool developed by Peter Pias for annotation of PDT Valex. But we expanded, actually, when I am saying we, this is the work of Eva Pufučíková, she expanded it a lot. And it allows the annotators see the original links to our valency lexicons, and it's also very user-friendly when they have to annotate the references to the external resources. They can also see the examples from the Prague-Czech English Dependency Tree Bank at once, so they can see either the sentence or they can see the textogrammatical representation. It's up to them. The storage format is a XML scheme, and Eva decided to split it to two parts, header and body part. Header contains the lexicon, and the body part contains the semantic roles and so on. I'm not sure about it now, but you have to believe me that this is so. And Eva keeps also the information about the annotation in this scheme. I mean, the names of the annotators, the timestamps, and so on. Just to give you an idea how the tool looks like, so on the right-hand side is the huge window showing our synonym editor. We call it SynEd. On the top is the name of the annotator, and then on the left-hand side are the individual synonym classes. You see that here we already have the ID of the valency frame. And the synonym class in the circle is stěžovací. So for this individual class, the annotator then can open and see the individual class members. Actually, the annotators first see the candidates of class members, and they have to go through them, prune them, and decide which one are really good enough to stay in this class. And the huge window on the right is the editing window. This is the info of one class member. Here is the class member gripe. This is this one again. And the window on the right has again three tabs. Maybe I have it here. This is the syntactico-semantic information. This is then the, and I go back. Oh, I'm sorry. You see that the syntactico-semantic information shows the argument mapping and the semantic role mapping. Then here is the Cenk-Valex frame entry. So, and here is the valency frame from the individual class member. Then we have the tab for restrictions, because sometimes we need to have them. And I'm sorry, I just can't see it now. And also the notes and the individual senses. So the links for the senses to ontonotes are captured here. The second tab captures the links to the individual resources we are interlinking our synonym classes with, and also the examples. This is the verb web design of our lexicon. You see that this is still kind of a beta version, but we hope that that would be openly available pretty soon. We already published two versions, and this would be our so far last version of Chen class lexicon. On the right hand side, we keep in alphabetical order the individual synonym classes according to English or to Czech name. And then the user can see what he wants to see, what he picks. So I pick the synonym class stěžovací complaint again. You see that here already that we have here already the ID of the valency frame, and here also. So this is the name of one synonym class. And below is the role set of this class containing those semantic roles. And then we have also something like collected mappings. It just gives us the overview what the individual semantic roles can be mapped to in this class. So it says that some members of this class are mapped to addressee or to location and so on. When the user wants to see the links to FrameNet, he just click the box here to WordNet and so on. He can also see examples and kind of play with the tool here. This is actually just the first part of what the user can see. This is the continuation. I wanted to make it a bit readable for you. So then here are the individual class members. This is one entry of the synonym class, the verb complain, with its valency frame and with the valency. This is the valency frame ID in Enqualex, and this is the valency frame. This is the second, third, and so on. And you see that on the right-hand side, we have pack all and unpack all buttons. So if you unpack one of those, you just get the links to the resources we are working with. Next, you can also see the examples from the Prague Czech English Dependency Tree Bank, and you can see the individual senses, I mean the translations of the verb in question in how it was used in the corpus. Now I would like to mention an experiment we have been doing almost 1 year ago, actually. So I realized that the coverage of the annotation was 25%, but now it would be much higher, I guess. But anyway, we wanted to annotate meaning, and for the moment, and I will talk to this later as well, we try to enrich the tectogrammatical layer in the Prague Czech English Dependency Tree Bank by the meaning representation. So we wanted to add the semantic information to the individual verbs. We wanted to assign the synonym classes and to the valency arguments. We wanted to assign the semantic roles. It was done automatically, and for about 100 aligned pairs, we tried to find, we looked closer to them, and we realized that for more than half of them, 117, the verb occurrence in the sentence had assigned more synonym classes. The reasons were pretty simple, because the verb as found in the corpus was assigned to more synonym classes. So those duplicated cases, we had to decide if we will merge them or no. Some of them are already merged. And then we realized that we need also something else in our lexicon, and those are the hierarchical relations. So far, our lexicon is just flat. We don't distinguish any hierarchy there, and the annotation showed that it would be needed. So this is just to show you how the annotation looked like after assigning automatically the synonym classes to the event type or to the verb say. You see that they were assigned two synonym classes. This is one of them, mluvit talk, and this is the second one, oznámit report. And it also shows that the valency slots of the verb say at the tectogrammatical layer had assigned different, actually here it's the same, but here is a bit different semantic role, because those roles are related to the individual synonym classes here. So after the manual annotation, we would like this, the annotation look something like this. The verb say would have assigned only one synonym class, and each valency slot would have assigned one semantic role. Now I would like to focus on some theoretical issues we had to deal with, since we were working with synonymy and meaning and translation. We had to work with all those terms you can see on this slide, and we had to ask ourselves what they mean actually, because as you know, they are all very complex and sometimes ambiguous, and even the terminology is not very unified. So it wasn't easy, especially because of the translational text. We had to deal with something what is called interlingual communication, and we had to find out if there are differences or similarities. So how does it look with the transfer of meaning from the source language to the target language? Well, I mean, we could discuss those for a long time, but since we are working with the functional generative description theory, we would like to see how this theory is approaching to meaning and content. From the beginning, the functional generative description is very strict. It has a strict borders between the linguistic meaning and content, and it says that the linguistic meaning is the thing that should be annotated, but the content, the factual knowledge, doesn't shouldn't be annotated at the Prague dependency tree banks, and doesn't belong to the language description. As the higher layer of the functional generative description holds the tectogrammatical layer, and this is a layer of linguistic meaning. So when it comes to valency, it means that the verb has to be at the At the dictogrammatical layer, the linguistic meaning, according to valency, means the verb, then the valency arguments, and then the endearment morphosyntactic realizations. And we know that each valency frame represents verb sense. So, as you see at the slide, the example with the location, he is under the table and he is under pressure. So these two sentences have, at the dictogrammatical layer, the same linguistic meaning, but they have different content. So when distinguishing the individual valency frames, we often had to go to content, kind of. What about synonymy? How is the approach of the theory to synonymy? So far, there was no description of lexical synonymy. The FGD worked only with, or not only, but was dealing with sentence synonymy, and the criterions for this were truth conditions of the sentences. In general, you know that two synonymous words or verbs are those verbs or words, they have the same, or we say similar meaning. In Chen class, we have the same definition that two class members are synonymous if they have the same linguistic meaning, but on top of that, we say that they have to have the same set of semantic roles. So, for us is important the mapping of valency slots and semantic roles. And talking about semantic roles, so in general you know that this is a lot of non-consensus about them. They are not unified in terms. Sometimes they are used terms like thematic role, cognitive role. Also the definition is not always clear. There exists some standard definition, but not all theories use those. And also the inventory on semantic roles is sometimes different. Like Doty has just two proto-roles, FrameNet has more than 1400 frame elements, thematic roles in VerbNet, they are like 30, I guess. So this is very different. But there exists a consensus that semantic roles should be used as basis for meaning representation. In Chen class, we use the term semantic roles, and I think I can say that this term is synonymous to the term situational participants, as it is used in Kettnerová-Lopatková work, and it has to do a lot with cognitive content. So my answer after working more than 20 years on the Prague dependency tree banks to the question if we need semantic roles in description of meaning is yes, we need them. And I think that one proof are the conversions, or they are also called alternations, because because as you see those two sentences, load hay on truck, load truck with hay, these two sentences have clearly different linguistic meanings as represented by different valency arguments, but they have same, I would say, something like content. So the semantic roles would be the same for both those representations at the dictogrammatical layer. Anyway, we still don't know how to exactly interpret our results about lexical synonymy and semantic roles. We still don't know where they belong, if they belong at the tectogrammatical layer or somewhere else. So far we see two solutions. Maybe they can be annotated as an enrichment of tectogrammatical layer, as I have already showed the experiments we have been working on. Or we can kind of go one level up and have something like a layer of synonym classes, and those would be interconnected with the tectogrammatical layer. Not only the name of the, I don't know how, maybe the term event time would be the right one or something else, so they have been connected to the verbs at the tectogrammatical layer, and the semantic roles would be connected to the valency arguments. So this is still an open issue for us. Let me conclude. So I hope that I have told you that our work is something what is worth to study. I explained the I was talking about the lexicon, and I showed you within which project it has been developed. I was also tackled a bit the concept of meaning, synonymy, and semantic roles. For future work, we in the very near future we would like to make the third version of our lexicon available under Lindat. And we are planning to make it not only browsable but also searchable. And in the maybe more distant future, we would like to make some comparison with automatic synonym discovery methods. We are also planning to cooperate more with other people who are working on similar projects. Actually, we already merge mutually the data with people from the University of Colorado. They merge the project of the VerbNet, ProBank, FrameNet, and OntoNodes. And you see that we are already starting to merge our data with them as well. And the data are merged under something which is what is called Unified Verb Index. Here are some papers we were able to write during the three years. So there are some conference papers at LREC, Kolink, Tree Bank and Linguistic Theories in Poland, and also the guidelines should be there. Those are the pointers to our web design lexicon, and the third one is coming soon. Thank you for your attention. And let me thank you also the team members of my team for the enormous support they gave me during those years working on synonyms. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Well, thank you very much for your for your presentation. I think you are well prepared for the defense, whatever it may mean, of the project at its end. And now I open the floor for discussion, because we have here many higher level experts in valency theory, so I hope that the discussion will be very rich. Here is the microphone.
Should I call by names the experts? Thank you. I wonder if the annotators have problems deciding whether something counts as a synonym in one class or rather in the other, or maybe not even in any class. And then I wonder if you consider also multi-word items.
We didn't do that yet.
No.
We were working just with verbs, but we submitted a new project which should deal also with nominals, but we are not sure now if we will get it. But we are not working with multi-word expressions.
And then maybe another short one. If you consider extending the scope to lexemes that are not present in PDT. Oh, sorry, in
Practic English Dependency Bank.
Yeah.
Yes, we definitely want to do that, but first we would like to cover all the verb occurrences we have in the Practic English Dependency Tree Bank, because we have the valency annotated there. So this is what actually our work is based on mapping valency and semantic roles. And maybe I forgot to mention that semantic roles, we just feel inspired by FrameNet, because FrameNet has a huge database with a lot of internal hierarchy in there, and they already named the roles. So we don't want to have it the same. We would like to keep our semantic role sets much more smaller, but still we don't want to go up with something very new. So, you know, like agent, participant one, or price, those are actually terms taken from FrameNet. And our annotators can see their definitions, and they can then compare those semantic roles with theme roles in VerbNet and so on, because they can see everything. I can show you, if you are interested in it in more detail, how the references can be shown. When they just click on some reference, they just get it in the VerbNet, and they can see, okay, so this is the verb I have to consider for to be a class member of our synonym class or not. And I can compare that also to the occurrence we can see in the FrameNet or in ProBank. Mm-hmm. So they have those inputs, and from this they then come up with the result.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. I'm interested.
Sorry, I'm a non-expert, but I was sort of confused at the beginning when you started to talk about semantic roles, because when I hear semantic roles in relation to FGD, I would rather expect that semantic roles are what is agent or actor, patient, and addressee. And maybe I somehow missed how you call these labels when you don't use the semantic roles label for it.
As you should know, at the pictogrammatical layer and working with valency, we are not using the term semantic roles. Yeah. We are using the term functors.
Functors. So
functors.
When you speak abroad about pictogrammatical layer, you just say functors. And
when I am talking about the kind of higher level, then I am talking about semantic roles.
Okay. I heard.
Maybe
when,
I just.
When I would speak about patient and addressee, I would definitely use semantic roles for explaining functors, but maybe, that was the source of confusion I had.
Okay, I guess that would be more the question for the founders of the theory, but I try to answer that once more. At the tectogrammatical layer for valency, we are using the syntactic as well as the semantic criteria. And as you know, some of them, some of the inner, inner free modifications or adjuncts are actually kind of semantic roles, but the term isn't used within this theory. So, yeah, I mean, when Peter Zgal, Eva Hajčová, and Professorka Panevová were working on the valency, they never wanted to have it the same as cognitive roles, which Fillmore has. But when we are working with the free modifications, then the location is actually sometimes the same as the cognitive role location, but as the example
I understand showed, it, but I just was wondering about the term you're using.
Okay.
Because I understood that, it's my guess, that the semantic role, Vendula doesn't use this for the cognitive participants or what this situational participants, because maybe you don't want to call them semantic roles because it's...
Because these factors for valency complementations as labels for valency complementations and semantic roles, labeling semantics of verbs for participants of the situation denoted by verbs.
Yeah, this is actually, for us, the semantic role is the same as situational participants in Vendula's work.
Yeah, I understand. And what about the repertory you have? Semantic roles, how many do you have?
So far we have about 50 semantic roles, maybe more, but not more than 100, right? We have to...
The last question, you develop them by yourself?
Yes,
or
we are developing them when we are building the individual classes, so we are trying to find some name already in some database, and when we didn't find some suitable name for it, we are just thinking something from, you know, from our minds. So, but when we have something in FrameNet, we are just using the name for it.
Thank you.
I'm not sure. Maybe you talked about it, but where do your labels come from for classes and for semantic roles? From FrameNet, or they are very similar to
FrameNet? Yes, the semantic
roles
are mostly coming from FrameNet, but sometimes the FrameNet semantic role name doesn't suit our needs, so we are then using something else, like participant one and participant two.
From our point of view, saying what it means, but when we have something very coarse grained, we don't like it, so we are trying to use some more
fine-grained. We don't want to invent anything new just for having something new. We are just using what we can use, and when it isn't enough, then we are trying to come with something new.
And sometimes they have the same label.
Yeah, so but it means something else, right, yes.
I think that your problem, the main question you formulated here is where the semantic roles belong. I think that it is not a separate higher level, because it must be complete and non-incomplete. And if it is the part of tectogrammatical level, it is strange that some functors are assigned semantic roles and some not. I think that if I understood you well, you told that the semantic roles are assigned only arguments.
But with arguments, I mean actually also participant as well as adjuncts.
But you have mentioned just now, answering Magda or Vendula, that the three modifications are in its substance something as semantic roles, and some of them where you convert addressee, either addressee or location. So I think that there are some free modifications which are good candidates for separate roles. If you have a manner or something else, it is also a semantic group which needs some differentiation or something
yes.
of that kind.
Yes, I.
So.
I'm sorry. Yes, I agree, but this is the problem, because at the dictogrammatical layer we just mix up the syntax and semantic, and when we are talking about meaning, we don't want to deal with syntax. We actually want to make some pointers from syntax to semantics, but the problem is that at the dictogrammatical layer it is claim that this is the linguistic meaning, so there shouldn't be actually the semantic, the content or something like that. It's still there, but you know, when we are talking about the lexical synonymy, how do we distinguish the individual frames? When we have, for example, the verb založit, so it has three valency frames, but they have the same linguistic meaning at the dictogrammatical layer. It's actor patient, založit kalhoty, shorten the pants, založit někoho penězmi, loaned money to somebody, or bookmark a page in the book. So it's always patient. So I mean that functor is linguistic meaning, and this is all the same for all the verb senses. So how do you distinguish that those verb senses are actually different? We have to reach into the content and go there and know that they are different. We don't have založit kalhoty a založit sukni when the dictogrammatical layer would be only syntax, then those all are the same. But because we are using the semantic criteria as well, then those are different.
Well, may I add something? It's true that there is a terminological jungle, in a way. Because if you read the first writings of Jarmila and Petersga and myself, you would find such terms as participant and free modification. And these are functors, I would say. We distinguish two kinds of functors, free modifications and participants. And that's the original sort of thing. Then I think we changed the terminology and we, in the most recent writings, we speak about functors, because formally these are functors of the dictogrammatical layer, or if we don't want to use functor because it may be interpreted with logicians and people of other categories, so to say, as something else. So we speak about valency slots, because this is something which is really pertinent, in my opinion, to what we are really meaning, sorry for the word, part of the dependency tree, and then the valency slots as valency of the verb or other kind words. So that's one part of it. Then in the Valex, you speak about participants of situation, which is nice, so to say, or participant of event. But here the participant means something else. And Zdena, yes.
Oh, for the description of
Yes. And Zdena used the name Roll. And I think one, so actually what she and you are doing is to have, or aiming at, is to have actually two sets of terms. One set of term belongs to the tectogrammatical layer and is the valence, what I would call now valence. So, and then there's another set of terms or functions, and this is what you call the rows. And it may occur that with some of the of that syntactic or semantic layer of the valency slots has more than a single counterpart on the role layer, and that's with actor, patient, and in some cases the one of the set of the valency slots has, by chance or by some circumstance, the same counterpart. And that may be the case with location or temporal or some other things. But we still can speak about two sets, at least in my interpretation, we still can speak about two sets. One set is the valency slot and one set roles or whatever. And then you spoke about the possible relation between the members of one set to the members of the other set.
Yes, and if I can add something, we were thinking about your term, that we maybe can use the situational participants, but frankly speaking, when I am outside Czech Republic, nobody is using this term, and everybody is using role and some other adjective like cognitive, thematic, or whatever. But the situational participants, you have to explain always what does it mean. And this is similar, unfortunately, this is similar that to the valency terminology, that people just doesn't pay so much attention that we, when we say arguments, we mean the inner participants, and when we say agents, we mean the free modifications. So we have always to explain that. So one of the reasons we choose the term semantic role has to be found here. And then I mean that Vendula and Markéta, you use also the term like linguistic patterning or linguistic patterning of meaning, structural. Strukturní something. Structured meaning, yes. And this is what I was wondering about always, because when you say that your situational participants are to be mapped to the structural meaning nodes, they are actually, the situational participants are actually this is the content what is structured, not the linguistic meaning. The linguistic meaning is already the valency, but one level up is the event, the situational. Yes. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure, maybe we should just use some.
I think that I work primarily with
conversion
thesis. And there are many concepts derived from MTT, because in MTT there are distinguish between syntactic level, it's very similar to our tectogrammatical layer, and on top of this layer there is a layer of semantic actants, and there there can be between these semantic and syntactic actants, there are many asymmetries, and one of these asymmetries is represented by alternations or conversions. So it was very useful for me, but so situational participants, semantic participants are also used in many works in a different way. So it's very tricky to choose.
Yes, I know it's very fuzzy. The terminology is, as you said, complete jungle. So,
but I think that it's very useful to distinguish between that I have semantic participants, and then I have a label for it, right. And it's a semantic grammar. Yeah.
So, I mean, we are on the same board, so.
Okay, so.
One more question.
This is just a comment. I think that I was still thinking whether we heard an answer to Yarmila's question about the sort of the rest of the sentence. So if you think about the possible another layer, or even just to, you know, linking to the technogrammatic layer, then of course, especially if it's a separate layer, you don't want to lose any information in there. So of course, what you have seen on the picture was just about the verbs and their, you know, and the links to that semantic parties, whatever situational participant of the verb. But of course, the plan is, but it's a very long-term plan, to develop a semantic representation. Again, how far from the technogrammatical, I don't know, which will actually contain all what's there. So, you know, one direction is to take nominalizations, another direction is to decide what to do with the free modifications, which of course have to be linked to the verb as well, but not as part of the semantic roles in the synonym class, because they don't fit that. So there will have to be some way of relating these manners and attitudes and the time and whatever to the event, and then of course all kinds of these waste baskets we have created, like RSTRs and so on, they have to be described in a semantic way as well. Now people approach it in a very different ways, in different semantic representations. So Dan and Milan is not here, know from the recent shared task that we have seen five different semantic representations. In fact, one of them was simplified technogrammatical one, but there were much more semantic representations like AMR, UCA, DM. Well, DM is similar to technogrammatical, and then ERG, right, I think. It is. Okay, so these are semantic representations at various levels, and I don't know whether we stick to one of those or maybe we create something new. Also, AMR is now going to be sort of made more universal and less information losing by the UMR project. So we want to link to that one and see what we need to define what to do. So but of course that's a very long term thing, because even though the verbs are the most important part, and in fact many of those relations could possibly be converted to verbs. That's what AMR does. For example, even things we have as an attribute, I mean, we didn't touch anything from, let's say, verbal attributes in the node. You know, modality, there are five of them, tense in the semantic sense, number, for example, for nouns, and many of these things are not in there, of course. But they will have to be there if we want to claim that it is a semantic annotation. So these things are still very far away, but of course that's sort of the long-term goal, which hopefully we will be able to do, for example, in the EXPRO project, if it really comes in as it now should, we hope. So I'm not sure if this is the answer what you have asked.
Or something higher level.
I mean. Yeah. So again, it is not only, but even then, it is not only about, let's say, free modification of verbs, and but it's about the whole structure of the sentence, which has to be represented in some way, of course, and in a hopefully non-redundant but complete way in terms of which information is there. But I don't think we will be able to do it within the 5-year project we have next. I mean, we will be able to do something in that direction.
And we still hope that the neural nets wouldn't, do everything, and they still will need the linguistic in it. So this is why we are working on it, because when Milan Straka sometimes, is talking, I just think, maybe we shouldn't work on the linguistic anymore. But I still believe we do. As Stefan Epfen and Dan, they have confirmed that this is still important to work on the semantic in relation to linguistic meaning and, like our Prague dependency tree banks, they have been annotated for many things, and the natural language processing still need our result. So I think it's still worth to find some way how to interpret things like the semantic roles and stuff like that.
Free modifications, whether they would scope in the logical form or semantic representation over the verb or in some other way. But when you said that there are many ways how to do semantics, so maybe it wouldn't be so nice to invent another one. Maybe it would be better to pick one of those that exists. Yeah.
I mean, sure it would, but again, the same way as Zdenka said, that the lexical resource, I mean, we went through all the resources that we link to, because they are very popular, well-known, from FrameNet to PropBank, sort of rank them from semantics to more syntactic-oriented, but none of them seem to us to be the right thing. You can criticize. I have seen actually a presentation at MNLP last week with very nice slides. I have photos on my cell phone. When people said I would subscribe to exactly the same arguments that FrameNet, well, apart from low coverage and whatever, we have low coverage as well. But FrameNet with having 15 semantic rows for each class, that's something we would like to avoid. We would still like to, identify the core rows, which can be used in the synonymy description, because of course the rest could be, varying. PropBank doesn't have any semantics, almost, except for the functions that are not now attached to the arguments. But again, no attempt to group things into synonym classes. VerbNet has classes, calls them classes, but these are not synonym classes. These are just, there are some semantic attributes common for the class, like movement, right? But you don't want to have all the verbs of movement in one synonym class, because the meaning is clearly, walking and flying is different. You want to, make a more fine-grained distinctions than VerbNet is. And then you have ontonodes, which are sort of very close in terms of meaning. The senses are really the first thing, as Zdenka said, we have it on the first plane in the editor. People have to decide this first. They seem to be relatively close by the granularity to what we want to do. But again, the verbs are not grouped together. So you will have to go through VerbNet, but that's too broad. And so none of them fulfilled what we thought would be a good synonym set. Right? And similarly with the representations, we have been looking at those five that are very well thought through and so on. So UCA is an interesting attempt, but it's completely full of gaps, that the information is simply not there. The AMR loses lots of information as well. from tense to number to scoping to many, many things. The ERG, I'm not sure, but again, it's not really content annotation either. So we don't know yet. Right? So for example, for the free modifications, I mean, but certainly we would like to be inspired in, again, I'm talking about the long term, you know, maybe not immediately, by the certain features of those. I mean, there are certain features I like about AMR, and there are certain features I like from MRS, and so on, but none of them sort of fulfills what we have, you know, the main idea. So for example, the conversion in AMR of many nominalizations to the verb, it's I think very useful. I mean, we have to be careful not to overdo it. If you say building in the sense of the physical entity, you don't want to convert it to the verb to build. I mean, of course, it's a result of building some time ago, but that should stay as it is. But in general, this idea can be taken over. Some of the attributes like modality can be represented by predicates. So that's a possibility. In fact, the free modifications, we have 36 of them, plus subfunctors, so maybe 100, right? We can imagine that we invent 100 relations, like, almost like predicates, which will say, okay, this is the manner in which this event was performed, so we have a predicate with two arguments, you know, and do it like that. So, you know, again, there are many, many, many choices. That there's this big discussion that semantic representation must be a graph, not a tree, because, you know, in general, it's not a tree. You know, we have this discussion every time, like Stefan Eppen says, well, your PDT is a graph. I mean, you have coreference and you have all this stuff. So it's not a tree, right? And we argue the opposite way, that AMR is in fact a tree with just some coreference links in it and so on. So again, this discussion will have to be solved sort of first before we can commit to a given representation. But I think all the features are actually in some representation in the world. So we don't have to invent the features, but we don't want to stick to any of the current representations because each of them has some problem we see.
Yeah, I think this, for example, when you mentioned MRS, so the way to capture homonymy or ambiguity in those logical forms, I think it's very important. So that you would have something flat, and then all the scoping problems would be somehow separated from. Yeah. Okay.
As I have said, the discussion in the end was really rich and brought in several related questions and issues. So, and this is of course also a kind of contribution of Zdenka's presentation that she brought in and mentioned such disputable issues. So thank you very much for your presentation, and I'm looking forward to see you next week, when the Strakas family will present their neural net approach. So thank you very much.